Thank you, Miss Ann. I appreciate that. Now let's get our Bibles for the message this morning. If you would open up your Bible to the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter, Genesis chapter 12. That one's easy to find. I can't tell you it follows Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, because it doesn't. Just open up the front cover of your book and move to the right just a few pages. Last Sunday, God laid upon my heart about the city of Jerusalem. You know, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we looked at Psalm 122. And the Lord seemed to direct me again to the nation of Israel. You say, well, we're in the church age. Come on, you know, we're the New Testament. I know, but there's a foundation laid in the Old Testament that we dare not ignore. And it seems like this generation has lost it. They have no idea. And so I'm going to remind us about it. I know you guys, I'm not calling you old. You're just mature. And you know this. But our culture and our generation does not. I want to challenge you this morning on the subject of the Abrahamic covenant. Look at chapter 12 of Genesis. I'm just going to read the first three verses. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. When we study the Bible, there are these agreements and arrangements that we call covenants. Someone with authority passes on to another group of lesser authority and makes a promise and a guarantee. Some of them are what we call conditional covenants. Conditional means that the covenant will be fulfilled and carried out if certain conditions are met. You can recognize them in the Bible because they begin with the word if, and then in the middle of it, it'll say then. Because if the conditions are met, then the offerer of that covenant will fulfill that covenant if they are met. Here we have a covenant that God gives to Abraham, but it is what we call an unconditional covenant. So what it means, no matter what happens, this covenant's going to be fulfilled. It doesn't require, necessitate, grounded upon the necessity of Abraham's obedience. It would have been better had he been more obedient. But be that as it may, and all his descendants, it is what we call unconditional covenant. God made this agreement with Abraham, and if we look at our chronologies, it's about 4,000 years ago. You say, how do you know that? I'm reading what's in my Bible. I'm looking at my Scofield Bible, which uses Bishop Usher's chronology, who did a study of that. I'm not saying Bishop Usher knows everything, but this is an approximation. About 4,000 years ago, God spoke to Abraham and gave him this covenant that we call the Abrahamic covenant. This morning, let's take a little bit of time, examine it, and learn from it. Shall we pray? Father, help us this morning. We're looking at Jewish history this morning. But so much of our future rests upon Jewish history and heritage. And we must be aware of it And as best as we can, we must understand it, because it helps us understand the circumstances and conditions of today. And to understand and realize what is yet to come. And so help me this morning. Lord, there are some things I want to say that You have laid upon my heart. I pray I'll be able to communicate them so that we all might hear and understand. And as we mentioned in our scripture reading of Romans 10, 9 and 10, somebody here today is unsaved, and we pray today might be the day that they call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Hebrew Messiah, but the Savior of mankind, and receive Jesus as personal Savior. May all of us as Christians be encouraged by what we read and what we see in the pages of this text. We'll thank You and praise You because we do pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Abrahamic covenant introduced and stated in our text. So that's point one. We're already halfway done. No. He's telling Abraham, the Lord had said to Abram, now He hasn't changed His Abraham name to Abraham yet, still Abram. He said, I want you to leave where you are. I want you to leave Ur of the Chaldees. And then they spent time in Haran. And God said, I want you to get out of there because there's a land I want to take you to. You're leaving home, but you're going where I'm going to lead you. Now, isn't it interesting? We always say this when we study this. And say, that's fine. We want to go somewhere, and we plug in a GPS. We plug it in our phone. Hit the to and from location. Hit it, and the phone figures it out for us. How many of you remember the old Rand McNally Atlas? Had that great big thing in your car, folded over to the page that you wanted it, and if you're traveling multiple states, then you had to find the state and everything. Now your cars have it, and cars really don't have to have it, because if you got it on your phone, the newer ones link up your phone. It's amazing what we can do. You just plug it in, and it tells you where you want to go. Except God didn't tell Abraham exactly where he's going. He said, get up and go to a land that I will show thee. When Abraham left, I'm going to call him Abraham. When Abraham left, he didn't know where he's going. You know, it's one thing to have a destination. It's another thing to begin traveling and depend upon God to lead you. But get away, go to a land, from a land, and he said, I will make of thee a great nation. That's a wonderful promise. Except all of us that have studied the Bible know about this time, Abram is just a spry 75 years old and he has no children. And his wife is not able to bear children, which just means she was not physically capable of bearing children. And so here is a married man of significant age whose wife has never been able to bear children, and God said, I'm going to make of you a great nation. The only way possible for that to happen is to have descendants. What I'm trying to point out to you is the faith of a man named Abraham. Not only that, I will bless thee. Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Well, how are you going to do it, God? He doesn't say. He just says, I'm going to bless you. And then he says, I'm going to make thy name great. Well, I'm just Abram of Ur of the Chaldees. I'm coming from Haran. I don't even know where I'm going. And you're going to make my name great? I have nothing to relate to greatness. God said, I'm going to make your name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. Wow. Abraham. Now, you got to understand, he doesn't have a book of Genesis to go to. This is what we've looked at when we're talking about on Wednesday night in the book of Job, all that Job had to experience, and Job had no Bible to fall back on and to refer to and get a promise and get a blessing from. Here's Abram getting ready to leave everything that he's familiar with and go where he has no idea where he's going, and he's got nothing to tell him. Well, what's going to happen when I get there? We know in 25 years he's going to have a son, but he doesn't know that. We know that his son's going to have another son. And then he's going to have 12 sons. And they're going to have the nation of Israel. We all know that. He does not know that. What a faith to follow that. But then he says this, verse 3, and here's what the world, well, the world needs to know all of it, but I will bless them that bless thee. Unconditional covenant, remember? So God says, those that bless you, Abraham, I'm going to bless them. Now flip that coin over. And curse him that curseth thee. I will bring sentence. I will bring judgment. I will bring a curse upon the one who may bring a curse upon you. It's like God telling him, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide and I'm going to protect you. And then he says, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. All families. Wonder what that means. We know what it means. Did Abraham have any idea what God was going to do? We can look at this from a New Testament perspective. Here we are 4,000 years later looking back and saying, Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Abraham, every one of your descendants is going to be blessed. But that's not exactly what it said. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Indication that this promise is going to be expanded beyond the Jew. All families of the earth be blessed. All nations, all peoples are going to be blessed as a result of you. I expect Abraham got a brain right now. It's getting ready to explode. What do we call it today? TMI. Too much information. I expect his mind was ready to go. But look at the first three words of verse 4. So Abram departed. He didn't have a committee meeting. I'm reading the text, and I'm going to say this very carefully. Very carefully. Matter of fact, I'm going to say it so none of the ladies can hear it. It doesn't say he asked Sarah about it. What I'm pointing out, and for those of you that are visiting, I tend to have a tongue-in-cheek type of attitude sometimes. I can be a little bit more sarcastic than probably what I need to be. But he didn't ask anybody's permission. God said, do this. Abraham did it. What a tremendous testimony of faith. But families, be blessed. When you trace the history of the Abrahamic family, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 sons, the tribe of Judah, David, then who's the greatest descendant of Abraham of all? Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of the Jews, yes, but the King of kings and the Lord of lords. In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed, because you're going to have a descendant. And 2,000 years from now, he's going to come and walk upon the face of the earth. Miraculously born of a virgin. Live a sinless life. Go to the cross of Calvary. Lay down his life. Be buried in a borrowed tomb and rise again the third day. Ascend back into heaven, coming back to the earth. Sometime in the future, Abraham, this is my promise. Still in effect, folks. It's not a conditional covenant, so there is no condition that we have to look for to be met. It's going to be done. God said it, that settles it. So we have in this text of Genesis 12, the Abrahamic covenant introduced and stated. But I'm going to advance a little bit. Go to Genesis 13. Genesis 13. Just flip a page or maybe two. Look at verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward, and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. In Genesis chapter 14, and also in Genesis chapter 15, flip one more page, verse 18, and said, in the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. In these passages, we have the Abrahamic covenant repeated and expanded. First of all, make of you a great name, great nation. Bless him that bless thee, curse him that curseth thee. Thee shall all land of the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, he repeats the covenant and says, Abram, I want you to look to the four points of the compass. So where Abram's standing, he looks four different directions. And God said, you see that land? I'm going to give it to you. And to thy seed forever. What do we say about this covenant, unconditional? Will be fulfilled. Then he said, I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. Man, you go through Florida this time of year. How much is the dust of the earth in Florida right now? Until we finally get some rain and settle it. But how many times have we gone to the shore of the ocean or the Gulf and see the sand of the seashore? Or how many times have we looked up into the heavens and seen the stars in the heavens? I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth. Now, he didn't say Florida. He said the dust of the earth. So what's he going to do? Man, we're going to give land. We're going to have land as far as the eye can see. And I'm going to have descendants that you can't number. And I still don't have a son. And I'm getting old. My wife is already past bearing age. And God said, I'm going to do this. How many times does God have to say something in order for it to be a fact? Now, we've already looked at it three times. Then, Genesis chapter 17. No, wait a minute. Genesis 15 illustrated. I'm sorry. I'm leaving out a point. Well, if I leave out a point, we'll get out too early. All our folks here, they know I'm lying. Genesis 15:3, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Not only is the Abrahamic covenant introduced and stated, repeated and expanded, but now it's illustrated. He's already seen the dust of the earth, and now God says, look to the stars. Tell the stars. Now that was, 4,000 years ago, before any man made light. One of the things that I understand is that if you can go somewhere where there is no man-made illumination and just go out at night, the stars that you can see are tremendously more than what we can from here in Pasco County. It's just unreal. And I've seen photos, and I mean, they tell us that spot out there, that's a galaxy, and it's big as the Milky Way, which is our galaxy. And that over there is another. There are plenty of galaxies, and each one of them has millions and billions of stars. In other words, you can't count them. And God tells Abram, he said, all right, start numbering them. If you can number them, that's how many your descendants are going to be. So that's the Abrahamic covenant illustrated. Then, Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17, verse 6. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful. All he's got is Ishmael. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations. Look at the next word. For an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now God's telling Abram, here's the Abrahamic covenant revealed as permanent, everlasting, between me and thee and thy seed, everlasting. Nations, kings, all the land, everlasting. I'm giving you this covenant, and I'm giving you this land, and it will never be undone. I say this all the time in reference to Israel. We look on a modern day map, and you look over at the Middle East, and you look at that little spot of land that's called Israel. Very small, isn't it? And if the Palestinians had their way and the NATO had their way and the United Nations had their way, they wouldn't have that. They'd be pushed into the sea, but except for God's provisional protection for them. But if the world had its way, Israel wouldn't have the little spot of land that they've got right now. Except that God said, you're going to have a whole lot more. I'm promising you that. Now, He said, from the river of Egypt to the great river Euphrates. Now, I'm going to throw water on you for just a little bit, because I've read commentaries, and if you do study, you've read commentaries and all. And a lot of the commentaries that I read like to shortchange God. You know, they like to, you know, diminish a miracle or diminish the effect of what God says. And I remember the first time I was reading a commentary about the promise of the land, and it said the river of Egypt. First thing that comes to my mind is the Nile, because that's the river of Egypt. But some commentator said, some people think the river of Egypt is the Nile, but there is a smaller place just below the land of the Philistines. It's called the River of Egypt. It has another name. It's called the Wadi El Aris. Wadi just means it's a seasonal place. In other words, in the rainy seasons, it's got water running down it. Sort of like your ponds everywhere and the connections between the ponds. Man, you go over Betmar, there is no connection between the ponds, and the ponds are just about gone. Dry season. But in the middle of the summer, everything will be filled up. When it's rainy season, that wadi would be the river of Egypt. That's what they call it. And they said, so that's what God was talking about. Yeah. Go, if you believe that, that's fine. You're more than welcome to believe that. I think God meant the Nile River to the Euphrates River. All of it. You say, well, you're not smarter than a commentator. I'm just smart enough to believe the Bible, that's all. And let's just be honest. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And if you never opened up a commentary and just read your Bible, you'd do okay. It's necessary for commentaries to get some details and things, but not. I also read that the Red Sea was the Reed Sea. It was a marsh. When Moses led the nation of Israel through it, it was just an ankle-deep swamp marsh, which is an amazing miracle because it was a wall on both sides. Man, the Israelites must have been really small. And the Egyptian army, which was supposed to be so great, must have been a bunch of sissies because they all drowned in it. When I find, I was doing a study in the book of Romans years ago, and I was reading in a supposedly reliable commentary, and this commentator said, the King James Bible is wrong here, whatever verse I was looking at. And when I read that statement from that commentator, closed the book, never looked at it again. Do not question the Bible. And if you're supposedly an intellectual, educated, PhD, THD, and all that, and you tell me the King James Bible is wrong, I don't have time of day for you. I didn't hear anything. That was... I better move on. revealed as permanent. Then something else. Chapter 22. Now we're moving further on. Now Isaac is finally born. The child of promise. By the way, and let me say this as kindly as I can, there's not a Palestinian, Arab, Muslim anywhere that can claim to be part of the covenant promise of the nation of Israel through Abraham. They are descendants of Ishmael. They are a descendant of Abraham. They have no part of the Abrahamic covenant. That is all through Isaac. Now in chapter 22, Isaac is born. He's a teenager and Abraham offers him as a sacrifice. Look at verse 15 of the text, because I don't have time to read it all. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time and said, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." You say, well, now it becomes conditional. No, it doesn't. If it had been conditional, it would have been conditional the first time he said it. But now the Abrahamic covenant is confirmed. Abraham can be guaranteed because Abraham's got a descendant. And God has promised him once again because of his obedience. What am I saying? The Word of God. God spoke to Abraham as he had spoken to him, 75 years old, Isaac born at 100. Isaac's a teenager, so you do the math. Or maybe a very young man, so it's been a little while. And so the Abrahamic covenant is now confirmed through obedience. Then, you say, are you ever going to get done? Yeah, eventually. And they will all be able to go. Genesis 26. And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, "Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." And they haven't even got to the Mosaic law yet. But now the Abrahamic covenant is confirmed through a descendant. Previously, it has been spoken to Abraham. It's been repeated to Abraham. Now Isaac gets it. God said, "As I made with Abraham thy father, I swear unto Abraham." God promised. Does God ever break a promise? No. And so we, once again, this is six times already that the covenant has been stated and elaborated upon. Then, let's see what chapter I'm on now. Chapter 27. Wait a minute. Where am I at? Ah! Chapter 27. I was right. Isaac is blessing Jacob. Now, I'm not going to get into the details of what all brought about this, but this is what happens. And let's see, chapter 27, verse 26. "And his father Isaac said unto him, Come thou near and kiss me, my son. He came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field, which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." Now Isaac's passing it on to Jacob. So now the Abrahamic covenant is passed on to the next generation, from Isaac to Jacob. Same thing you find in Genesis chapter 28 and the first four verses. Isaac to Jacob. But in chapter 28, verse 13, I'm trying to get done before I'm finished. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give unto thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again to this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Now God has given it specifically to Jacob. And we have nine times in these chapters, from chapter 12 through chapter 28, the rendering, the voicing, the illustrating, the confirming, the revealing of that great covenant called the Abrahamic covenant. How did the Israelites survive 400 years of Egyptian bondage? Because of the Abrahamic covenant. How did the Israelites survive Assyrian and Babylonian captivity? Because of the Abrahamic covenant. How did they survive the oppression of Rome and then the defeat of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple in 70 AD by Rome? How? Because of the Abrahamic covenant. How did they survive Hitler's Holocaust, which killed over 6 million of them? How did they survive that? Because of the Abrahamic covenant. Because God said, I will bless them that bless thee. I am convinced, as sure as I'm standing here, that America was formed so that we could spread the gospel around the world, yes, but because we would become the first ally of the brand new nation called Israel. It would be America would become the first nation to recognize and acknowledge Israel. I will bless them that bless thee. And we have received blessing and blessing and blessing upon God, from God, upon our nation. I fear for our nation today. There is a talk and a hint of maybe not having a strong alliance with Israel as we once have had. Read your Bible. I will bless him that bless thee. I will curse him that curseth thee. The Egyptians drowned. The mightiest army in the world drowned in the sea. The Babylonians were defeated by the Medes and Persians. Rome disintegrated. There'll be a revived empire. We understand that. What happened to Hitler in Germany? They were defeated. We helped them rebuild, as we always do as Americans. But you look at your history, every nation that has risen up against God's covenant people has suffered greatly. That's called the Abrahamic covenant. That's the promise. But the greatest descendant of all I've already referred to, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. There is a Messiah that was born in Bethlehem, miraculously conceived by the Holy Spirit, lived a perfect sinless life, died, was buried, and rose again the third day, ascended back to heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us, coming back one day we do not know. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. I'm listening for the shout. I'm listening for the sound of the trumpet. I don't need to see the signs. I'm just waiting for Jesus to come. How do you know that? Because of the Abrahamic covenant. Then the rest of the Bible history tells me that 69 weeks are determined upon thy people. 1 week yet to be fulfilled. Ain't happened yet. That's going to happen after the Christians are gone. 7 years of horror upon the earth called the time of Jacob's trouble, the time of tribulation. And then what? That same Jesus comes back to the earth. Establishes his kingdom for 1,000 years. Rule and reign for 1,000 years. If you're saved, you're going to be with him. One final rebellion, and then Jesus will rule for all of eternity. The lost will be cast into the lake of fire. How's all that possible? Because God made a promise to Abraham. And all who would can come to that Messiah. You don't come to Him as Messiah, but the Jews looking for the Messiah. You come to Him as Jesus, as Savior. And all who would come to Jesus as Savior can have eternal life. Every Jewish person that would recognize Him as the Messiah and receive Him as their Savior would be born again. How's that possible? The Abrahamic covenant, which is still in effect and will never cease to be in effect. We keep our eyes on that great descendant of Abraham, whose name is Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Please, Miss Ann, if you'd go to the piano and begin a quiet hymn. If you're here today and you're unsaved, there's that descendant of Abraham that's waiting who said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." And then our text on their bulletin that said, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." That's how simple it is. Come to that descendant of Abraham and trust him as your Savior. And Christian friend, keep your eyes on the Savior. Keep your eyes on the coming descendant of Abraham. And always remain a staunch ally of that nation called the promised people, the covenant people, the Jewish nation. Father, help us into understanding and seeing what you promised your servant, and then reading through history and seeing how you've carried it all out. From one childless man has come a nation that cannot be counted, a nation that has been the object of annihilation so many times and has emerged victorious every time. And we know we'll continue. We thank you for that. We can depend upon that promise, and we can depend upon the rest of the promises of the Bible. It encourages us in the dark day that we have to live in today. So bless us here today. Encourage us in your word. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Well, I appreciate all of you coming this morning.